Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure. As always, they're going to be glad you hung out with us because our good friend Gerald Celente is with us. Ladies and gentlemen, the often, actually always controversial, but extremely visionary Gerald Celente is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle your seatbelts. Pull it tight because you're going to, we might be in for a little bit of a wild ride. Gerald is the author of the book Trends 2000. And if you go back and read this book now, ladies and gentlemen, it will you'll get cold chills reading some of the things that he forecasted. He's also the author of the quarterly Trends Journal, which is something that I rely on heavily here in our operation. And he's our good friend. He is the resident trend tracker on the Brain Trust. Gerald Celente, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And folks, many of you have seen Gerald on many of the television shows. And a lot of the television shows have Gerald on, tell them to tell their audiences what's going on. Gerald, what has happened in the last 9-10 months that you didn't see coming?
Just about nothing. and that's not to say
modesty is his long suit too, ladies
well,
and gentlemen.
Well, no, you know, we get it wrong, you know, from time to time. We're only human. But if you go back to our Trends Journal for the top trends of 2008, which went out on December 17th, 2007,
yeah,
you'll read the headline stories where we called for the panic of 08.
You did?
As a matter of fact, not only did we call for it, to prove that we coined the term, we took out the domain name on November 7th, 2007, mm-hmm. thepanicof08.com. And we saw this coming. We also said there would be an economic 9/11. It's obviously happened. And just virtually every other economic, social, and political trip. Matter of fact, we called Obama a winner on May 20th of this year. We said if it's the economy, it's Obama. If it's war and terror, it's McCain. And it was the economy come election day. So we saw what was coming, and we believe we see what's coming next. And that's going to be the greatest depression. We're going to see times that no one's ever seen before.
So you're forecasting a depression.
We're forecasting not only a depression, but a depression that's worse than the Great Depression.
What has caused you to do that?
Well, when you look back at the Great Depression, for example, most people didn't own homes. Most people didn't have a thing called home equity loans. If you had a second mortgage, you were a loser.
Right.
People didn't
Actually, most people didn't use any kind of credit.
Exactly.
If they owned their home, they owned it outright moment one.
Right. And no one had credit cards. They were non-existent.
Yeah.
So the American consumer wasn't saddled with $14 trillion worth of debt.
Right.
Back then, the United States had a trade surplus. We weren't running about $700 billion in the hole each year, nor did we have a budget deficit in excess of $11 trillion. Back then, America had a manufacturing base, so when World War II broke out, we were the engine of prosperity, growth, and development throughout the world, and we supplied the world after World War II because we had the manufacturing capacity to do so. It wasn't offshored. Back then, the United States wasn't fighting $2 trillion wars. So we're going into this slowdown at a time that's much worse than it was back then. And back then, you didn't have people with their life savings and future invested in IRAs and 401ks that are evaporating before their eyes. So the situation now is much more serious. And if anyone believes that the government could save them, well, they believe in Katrina.
So what do you give us your definition of a depression?
definition.
What do you think it's
going
to look like?
You might not see 25% unemployment because people might be working two and three jobs, and so we'll probably see employment up into the 15 percentile. And remember, the government cooks the books on those numbers anyway, as we all know. What they do is once you're no longer receiving benefits, once you're no longer seeking work, you're no longer counted as unemployed in the
right.
USSA.
Yeah, if you're not checking in once a week, you're not on the records.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the other thing, too, Jim, and as you well know, they don't, for example, they have examples on how they cook the books. They don't add food and fuel into core inflation numbers.
Right.
I mean, come on. Who could make stuff like
that? That's accurate. That's an accurate statement there. Stand by, Gerald. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to let Gerald talk a little bit more about what he thinks the definition of a Great Depression is, and then I'm going to take issue with some of his projections and see what he thinks about that. 20 after the hour, 20 till the hour, I should say. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Gerald Celente is our guest. Don't forget, his quarterly is called The Trends Journal. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gerald Celente. Gerald is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, probably about 10 years or so, I guess. Gerald has been part of our team and a good friend of ours. He's the author of Trends 2000 and also the quarterly, outstanding quarterly publication called The Trends Journal, which you can subscribe to, folks, by going to Gerald's website. Right, Gerald?
Yes, and also I want to. We have a clause in there for people that subscribe. We understand that a lot of people are unemployed, underemployed, disabled, having very difficult times. And if they just let us know that they need a special break on the subscription price, we try to do our best to accommodate everyone.
I appreciate that. And it's trendsresearch.com, right?
Yes.
And they can find the book there, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Gerald Celente, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald, I want you to give us a little bit more. I asked you before we went to the break, and you didn't finish, I don't think. I want you to tell us a little bit more about what you think. You're predicting a depression, a depression worse than the last one,
yes.
Gerald. And I want you to tell us a little bit more about what you think it will look like. Not just what caused it, but what you think it will look like. And then I have some thoughts on that. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to see crime rise dramatically. We're going to start seeing tax revolts. People can't pay these taxes, and governments around the state governments, local governments are raising property, sales taxes, you name it, across the board. So we're going to start seeing tax revolts, and we're also going to start seeing masses of homeless people. We also anticipate riots. There's going to be bank runs. There's going to be riots. It's going to be a very ugly situation. You know, people look back at the Great Depression with almost rose-colored glasses. For example, they're comparing Barack Obama now to FDR.
Yeah.
Well, you know what FDR did to end the Depression? How about nothing?
Well, last week we covered a book by Bert Folsom where he talked about his book is titled New Deal or Raw Deal, and he basically pointed out that by the end of the 30s, all the things that FDR did had not really gotten us out of the Depression.
Yeah, it was World
but
War II.
I want to come back. I want to offer
World War II that got us out of the Depression.
I want to offer some counterpoints. I want to offer some counterpoints, Gerald,
sure.
To what you're saying. I know a little bit about what caused the last Depression. It wasn't the stock market crashing. It was basically a combination of that and high taxes. Taxes were raised on people, and the Smoot-Hawley tariff, which was put protectionist walls up around all the countries around the world, and that sent the world into a Great Depression. The reason I don't think that's going to happen this time. Here are the reasons. Number one, we've got better communication among nations. We can communicate instantaneously. We couldn't do that in the past. Individuals, small businesses can communicate with other businesses in other parts of the world instantaneously. We didn't have the global ability to move financial instruments around the world. We didn't have global cooperation among governments. Maybe all of that's not good, but some of it's not bad. We didn't have just-in-time inventory. We weren't moving goods and services around as well in those days as we are now. We weren't, and there were only about 20 democracies prior to the Great Depression. Today, there are about almost 150 around the globe. Those are just some of the reasons why I think global trade and the technology we have right now and some of the better best practices we have, Gerald, I think are the reason why, in my opinion, we're going into a tough time. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't think it'll be called a depression.
Well, I'll tell you why we think, what I would counter what you said, is that back then there were no such things as credit swap default derivatives, of which they estimate.
These are things that bother me. I agree with you.
There are $353 trillion worth.
Yeah.
Back then there were no such thing as all these leveraged buyout firms, CDOs, SIVs, hedge funds. The game is so enormous, it's out of control, Gerald.
I am worried, Gerald, about Wall Street, and I have been for a long time. I've been saying for a long time that Wall Street is at cross purposes with Main Street.
Wall Street has taken over Washington. It's the D.C. heist. We wrote about it in the Trends Journal. You don't have to look any further than who's running the show. And we're not.
I don't think I'm going to. I can't back up to the Fed's discount window in my small business, Gerald. I don't think if I applied for any of that TARP money, I don't think I'd get much of it. What do you think?
I don't think you'll get a penny.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, people used to.
And AIG just went back for another $50 billion.
And they got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got it. But you and I could go out of business, and everybody else out there could lose their homes. You mentioned about democracies. This isn't a democracy. Let's grow up about this. It's a plutocracy. It's a government controlled by the rich. This election we just saw cost $2.5 billion. You want to run for president? You better have the money. And I don't support the Democrats or Republicans, Jim. You said that you wanted that I'm controversial. I'll tell you why I don't support them. To me, they're criminal organizations. They're fighting wars for reasons that are untrue, and they're killing innocent people. I find murder a crime, and they're robbing us blind in broad daylight. I find that a crime, too. One sends the troops, the other one signs the checks. One sends this person to do the dirty work, and the other one signs the checks. I have no respect
for them
or the people that represent them.
Gerald, and folks, I told you to buckle your seatbelts. And Gerald, what I want to do, we're going to take a quick break in a couple of seconds. When we come back, though, I know you well enough to know that you, in your infinite wisdom and your prescience, you have the ability to look in the future and see if there's anything positive that we can hold on to. And I think there is something out there, and you're going to tell us about that. We come back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald Celente is with us. Don't unbuckle. He's still here. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassing. Game, we'll be right back. Welcome back, 7 till. Little Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back.
Don't let the sun catch you cry.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The Small Business Advocate site is brand new, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you'll go there and check it out today and use it to your advantage. Let us know what you think. Take it out for a test drive, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Gerald Celente is our guest. We've been talking about his dour forecast for what the world's going to look like coming up over the next few years. Gerald, and by the way, folks, as I told you, don't unbuckle. Just keep those seatbelts tight. Gerald, any good news? Can you look out there and see, have you been able to find anything for us to hold on to, anything that you're excited about? Let me tell you something I'm still excited about, and I can't help it. I'm going to be this way, I think, as long as I live. I am still excited about the ability of small business owners to make something positive happen from all this. What do you think?
Absolutely, because what's bad for Main Street, Wall Street, is great for Main Street. And let's forget who put all Main Street out of business. It was Wall Street. By giving all these developers all this money to build these giant chains to undercut everyone else, for governments to give these giant developers and big businesses tax breaks, loan guarantees, and other special breaks, So as we see Wall Street decline, you're going to start seeing entrepreneurs picking up the slack. We're in Circuit City today, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Remember when you and I were kids growing up, there were tons of little electronic shops and TV shops. You know, so now as the giants fall, there's going to be spaces left for the entrepreneurs to move back in. One of the great
I'll tell you another thing along those lines. Even the giants who don't fall, as they lay people off, they're still going to need that work to be done. They're going to contract with small business owners to do it.
That's another part of it. And the other thing, I mean, I'm talking to you now from Kingston, New York, and that's where our offices are, and we're moving them. And Kingston, we're right off the most historic corner in the U.S., the only place on each corner where there's a building, stone building from the 1700s.
Hmm.
And it's a local community, the kind of communities that thrived, that built the character of this country, where people lived and they shopped and they worked all in the same area. And these are the kind of people are going to be the elderly population, more and more local, buy local, grow local. All local businesses could do fine during this time. And another thing that's going to happen, heal yourself health care. People are going to start having to take health in their own hands. They're not going to be able to afford the expensive doctors and other treatments. So you're going to start seeing more people going to naturopaths, chiropractic physicians, to get vitamin counseling, herbal tincture remedies, to learn the natural ways of healing, complementary medicine.
I'm trying to get people to be better healthcare consumers, not just healthcare patients.
Exactly.
And see, that's the direction our healthcare system should move in, not in the direction of the government providing it for us.
Well, they can't move in anywhere because, again, you know, we were talking about AIG, this huge insurance company bailout. They've become criminal organizations, most of these healthcare providers, these insurance companies. So, you know, we have to take health into our own hands, and then we'll only use the system for the emergencies. Only when you really, really need it. So the best of the old and the best of the new. People that get in those fields are going to find opportunities.
One thing that I do think is different about what we're going through right now, Gerald, that's different from anything in my career, is in all the recoveries in the past, we've had a pretty healthy credit market that was sitting there ready to go when people wanted to borrow money. Today, that's not the case.
And you got it, boy.
That's a concern.
You're confirming what we're saying. You know, when you put all the pieces together, there's no way out of this.
I don't agree with that, but I do think we got problems.
Here's what we can see our way out of it. Just as what happened in the 1990s, when we had the technological revolution, if we have an energy revolution of sorts, something like that where we have a productive base to move from that's really life-altering, yes, we can get out of it.
I've been saying that for a long time. The United States has the people and the power and the technology to be the world's leader in energy solutions for this century.
Absolutely, but we have criminal organizations in charge. They call the Republicans and the Democrats. Listen, I've heard enough mafia stories.
That's trendsresearch.com, folks. Send all your emails to trendsresearch.com. Hey, Gerald, thank you for being here. Good job today.
I'll see you, Jeff.
Okay, see you later, buddy. Gerald Celente. I warned you. Don't say I didn't warn you, ladies and gentlemen. We love Gerald. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.